You're talking shit, but a hell of it. Addicted to betrayal, but you're relevant. Hey bitches, welcome back to That's the Worst, the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. We are your hosts, Kevin I.E., and we have a lot of opinions that are, well, unpopular.
Hey to all those tortured poets out there. Down bad crying at the gym.
Yeah, sorry, I thought you were going to say something else.
Well, I was trying to think of how the Tortured Poets Department song goes, and then I was going to try and do like Tortured Podcasters Department, but it came and then it went, yeah.
Isn't it interesting, you know, the TikTok sound that's like, Taylor Swift, fearless.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, now...
Speak now. That,
in that little song sequence, since in the one song she actually says she sings her own name.
Oh.
So they changed the Taylor Swift to that.
Oh,
and
my
then
God.
Now they have obviously the Tortured Poets Department. So it's like Tortured very complete Poets now Department. With like actual song snippets, which is kind of cool.
I know that some of the listeners on this podcast think that we are certified psychos. Like, I get it. I know that you think we're crazy about Taylor Swift especially, but there are people out there who are actual, like, they need to be put in a mental asylum. Like, they took that new mega mix that I'm like obsessed with, and they found clips of her saying each thing in the mega mix and then made a new TikTok with all the ones like with her synced perfectly. It's like the amount of time that must have taken, and you combing through like videos of Taylor Swift, like there are crazier people than us for sure.
Oh, like I don't think we're even in like the top percentiles. Like I think we're pretty safe.
50%
level of obsession. Yeah,
did
I
somebody
think so.
Just literally send you a message? Like, could you like throw that laptop out the window? Like, we are in the middle of a podcast. Thank you.
Wait, what?
Oh, I thought I heard your Teams message beep up.
Oh, I think it is going off, and I have noise cancellation. And
do you want to go and check what it looks like?
No, I have it on my phone.
It's, oh, you're good.
It's in like group chat.
I'm oh, okay. Gonna... I just so can hear that little ding. Da-ding! Teams.
Yeah, it was going off, and my notifications on my phone turn off at 5 o'clock. and yeah, and I can't hear outside of my AirPods, so work's over for the day.
That's called setting boundaries. That is called setting boundaries, and also you're at your second job right now, so they are gonna have to wait.
I had one of those moments this afternoon, like. You know, when I'm doing other things around my apartment, I still have like some awareness that I'm working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But today, you know, around 3:30, 4 o'clock, I started to cook dinner and completely lost awareness that work was happening. I'm like, oh shit, I better check that out.
I love those days where it's like, no, nothing's coming in, and it's like, oh, I forgot. Like, let's just refresh.
Yeah,
this.
I heard a notification. I was like, oh, right, that.
I think that's very healthy. I think your therapist would say good things about that ability to separate.
I'm getting much better about like not checking my emails outside of work hours.
Yep.
Like normally. I have a big deadline this week, and normally, like on a Sunday, I would maybe
check in,
take a peek at my emails, see if anything came in, and I didn't do that this week. I was like, I'm not checking my emails till I open my laptop at 8:30. So
that's on growth.
The boundaries have been set,
and you know what? It's not the end of the world. It's never the end of the world. Like, you'll get to it when you get to it. It's gonna be fine. Yeah.
And then I realize, especially with this project I'm working on, how little feedback I've gotten throughout this whole thing. So
right.
I'm like, why am I going to have a sense of urgency? It makes no sense.
Right.
So.
Exactly. If nobody else is going to.
I will now die on that hill.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm just in a fantastic mood today because I have a phone back and I survived.
You do.
8 days with no phone. And it just really, like, you know, it really allowed me to like unplug and just look at what's important in life. You know what I mean? Like, and just like step back a little bit into like.
Did it?
Well, it actually did because,
it make you...
you know, I lost some photos and stuff, and like I realized like I take so many pictures. Like I had 35,000 pictures on my camera, and then I was trying to go back because I have them on my laptop too, and I was trying to go back to see like which ones do I actually like want. And it's like there's few and far between, like really good pictures of like people and like stuff, like, you know. And it's about like, and also the whole thing where I always thought that I needed to like check Instagram every 2 seconds and like be on the ball with like current events and stuff. Like none of that matters. Like none of it is earth shattering. And if, you know, Taylor Swift posts an Instagram story, I don't need to be the first one to like screenshot, repost, like blah, blah, blah. And so I think it's also allowed me to set some boundaries with myself and my mobile device. Now, what I will say is like we have entered a world where not having a phone is like rather like unsafe at this point. Like you can't do anything, literally. Like you're trapped.
Well, I feel like for you and the situation, like there's a difference between having a broken phone at home versus out of the country. And I would have been freaking the fuck out for sure.
I'm really happy with the calm, cool, and collected demeanor in which I handled the entire situation. So,
well, you're general, like it takes a lot for you to freak out, I think.
Wow. Thank you. I kind of feel like I freak out all the time about the dumbest little stuff, but
maybe it's
that
just
feedback.
Like internal. I don't really see it very, like, I feel like I freak out to you more about things than you freak out to me.
Your freak outs are funny though. They're like, either you think freak you have out. Like, like either you have a brain tumor, one, or
mine
like
are escalating, and then I'm like, oh no, just kidding. It's not like it's more just an over exaggeration before I get all my facts straight.
It could be like the biggest deal in the world one day, and then I would follow up 2 days later, and you'd be like, oh, I haven't even thought about that. That never
and
even
like
crossed my mind. Yeah, exactly.
Like, leave me alone,
right?
So, yeah, I don't know. That's just my normal behavior anyway. So yeah, so you got your phone.
Got my phone.
Your phone is back.
New
you
screen.
Kind of have everything. I was genuinely like a little, I was having a little freak out about your pictures when you said
yes. And
okay,
I was as well. But here's the thing, like I said, I post so much. That's number one. I post the good photos that I want, so they're always going to be like on my Instagram, on Facebook, on somewhere. And the other thing is that I text my photos to everybody all the time. You, my mom, you know, other people. So I went through all of my pictures on my texts for like the past 6 months, and I downloaded all the good ones anyway. So totally fine. We're back in business. There's a little bit
but
of
you
a
do
blip.
Have you do you have are you missing any? Or
I think I have like this backup is probably from like 2021 or something. Like there's a few years in there that are missing at this point. But
oh wow.
Yeah, okay. But I feel good about it. I feel fine. And like I said, like all of mine are on social media somewhere. There was like one picture of my grandparents and I that I was really looking for, and it's from 2021 when they like looked a little bit more like lively. And I found it. So I was like, okay, as long as I have this and I have everything else, I'm totally fine. Yeah. Yeah. So we're good. Everything is just, nothing is forever, you know, like it's just the here and now. You got to feel the rain on your skin.
Sometimes I think about like, oh, I literally had pictures on like my old laptop.
Yeah.
It's like, when am I ever really going to go back and reference those?
Right.
But I just like to know that they're there just in case, you know?
Here's like my takeaways in terms of photos. Number one, I actually like to like print out photos and have them around the apartment. So like, I like doing that. Yeah. So that's like a good use of photos. And number two, I like posting photos. And I think that like that also, if you have a good photo and you want to post it, just post it. It's your own channels, you know, like people can unfollow you if they get annoyed, but like, then it's also kind of memorialized there until, you know, my biggest fear in this world is that my Instagram is going to get hacked. So until that moment,
that would be worse for you than like you're losing your entire camera roll.
Well, I would, I'd pay, you know what I mean? Like I'd pay whatever they wanted.
Like, yeah. Like
you name your price. Yeah. Like you want my organs.
Well,
like what do you want?
You should honestly just change your password like every 6 months. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that was the other thing that I learned with the whole like loading everything back on your phone is like how many of my passwords are the exact same. And it's like, okay, maybe we need some more cybersecurity there.
Yeah. And sometimes I will get emails. It's like, oh, your account's like on the dark web. And I'm like, oh, well.
Well, part of me for that is like, they can have it. Like, what do you want? But the like, Instagram cool, thing, they cannot have.
I made it to the dark web. Like, wow, they must think I'm really cool.
But I would honestly rather somebody have my Chase Visa than my Instagram account. Like, you can have it. Oh, they'll stop. They'll stop I'm fraud.
Like, as long as nobody gets my social security number or like my financial passwords, then whatever, you know.
You will, but here's the thing, even those financial institutions, they have such big firewalls and stuff that they can catch a lot of stuff that way too. And if somebody really wants my social security number, like, what are you gonna do with it? Have fun.
I like have this fear that like my identity is gonna get stolen and then my credit score is gonna get really bad.
But like, couldn't you ask that to like, couldn't you get that redone or something, or would that be permanent, do you think?
I don't really know. Like, I think people can get really fucked over. So I just pray every day my identity. Like, nobody really wants my identity. So
this is a big change for us. We were just discussing like financial, like investments and shit before we started recording. Yeah. So we're actually going to transition this podcast to be finance oriented. And
this is the tortured finance department.
Like, us two idiots are going to like go through and like tell you what to do with your finance. Like, it's just so
like,
funny.
Stocks, get them. Bonds, get them.
Get them
like,
all. Yeah, get them all.
Get them all.
And also, we're never going to be able to retire. So take everything out of your 401k. F that. Who cares?
Yeah, just use it, blow it, you know, pay the taxes on it. That'll kind of suck. But you know what? You only live once.
You know what? I am kind of like, I usually don't like, we don't get that political on here. We do like overall. But the fact that bill that they just passed was $95 billion really like struck a chord with me, because it's like our chump change is nothing, you know, $95 billion.
Well, and they all of a sudden like, oh, there's no money, and then they just make up $95 billion.
Where the hell did that come from?
Where the fuck did that come from?
Oh my god, it's like, and then we have to pay co-pays. Like, I have to pay $30 to go see my PCP. Like, what? Like, what world are we living in? It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely absurd.
That number really, like, I know that, like, you know, they usually say like, oh, this bill is going to be $10 billion and this bill is going to be whatever, but $95 billion.
That's an
That's
an unfathomable amount of money.
And like, you want us to pay to use the Spotify for podcasters platform? Like, you want me to pay for Facetune? Like, please, like, be serious.
Oh my god, like, is that really gonna stimulate the economy?
Right,
come on.
It's all fake. Yeah, it's all just little fake. And that's you know, today's Earth Day. Happy Earth Day. But like, also, in, we've talked about this multiple times, but it's like, in regard to like our footprints compared to like large corporations, like, we're nothing, we're dust.
Right. It's like, I'm not gonna make that much of an impact.
I do always kind of, when I go to IE's house and like, you don't recycle anything, and Bean's the same way, like, you just throw everything in the trash, and it's like,
that's because there isn't recycling available where I live.
Well, and Bean will say, if you're listening, Dr. Bean, like, you, that recycling is kind of like a scam overall, and it all basically ends up being like in a waste, you know, wasteful anyway. So
yeah, if I had recycling available to me, I would do it.
Well, that's the thing. We grew up and it was like, reduce, reuse, recycle. Like, that's what you should do. So you feel kind of weird about it. Yeah. If you're not doing it. But it's like, what? Where's the end game? You know what I mean? I want to be an end game.
When I did have recycling, I was probably doing it wrong anyway.
Yeah,
because
you're supposed to clean shit out and stuff, and like make sure it doesn't have any like food particles.
I would
on
put
it.
Like one with like half a jar of sauce left, like throw it in the recycling.
I mean, maybe somebody wanted that sauce too. Like, you could recycle.
Yeah, maybe
the
recycling
thing.
Guy was making spaghetti, or you know, like, I'm trying to help everybody out.
Recycle the can. Recycle the sauce. Yeah, like, reduce, reuse, recycle. Yeah.
I don't know how we got here, but it's funny.
We're just so honored to have this platform. You know what I mean? That's just what I was thinking last week when we recorded, and then this week, because I do have so many thoughts on this new Taylor Swift album, and I don't have like an outlet other than this. Now, I will say I've had two people already, because I start off with saying, like, this isn't my favorite album. And both people were like, oh my God, I thought you just loved everything that Taylor Swift did. And it's like, no, I do not love everything that Taylor Swift did. I think she is a great artist and I like her a lot, but I'm not just blindly in love with everything that she does.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a
and
critic.
It's like, I think overall, like, she's usually pretty consistently good, but then it's like, what level are you connecting with each album is going to be different every time.
Absolutely. And she has so, at this point, right, how many songs do you think she's published? Like 500 or something.
Yeah. 95 billion, just like the government money.
And so $95 billion. And so it's like, you're not going to like everything, but there is something in her discography for everyone. And I really do believe that. Like, there is an album or an era for everyone because they're all so varied.
Right. And if this one isn't that era for you, that's okay.
That's
maybe
totally
the next
fine.
One.
Yeah. And the thing that I'm worried about is how this will impact her concert this summer. And after doing, like, I've probably listened to the whole thing probably like 3 or 4 times now. I don't think this is going to make an appearance in the Eras Tour, honestly. Maybe in some surprise songs, but I really can't imagine.
Well, and I don't think she would ever, like, have it after Midnights, because, like, Karma is such a good way to end the concert. Like, that's such a finale song.
Like,
so
Midnights?
I don't know where she would put it in.
Midnights, to me now, seeing this album, is, like, so above and beyond some of her other albums. Like, Midnights was so good overall. It did have the slower songs, and it had the fast songs, and it had the crowd pleasers. It had something for everyone. This one is very pigeonholed, in my opinion. Like, very much one track.
Yeah, and I don't even know, like, if she were to pick one song or a handful of songs. Like, I don't even know which ones she would say are, like, the standout.
Well, she likes Fortnite, I guess, because she already did the music video and the single and all that stuff.
Yeah, and it makes sense, because, like, since that one had a featured artist, that makes sense. But, yeah, I don't really... The whole thing is just interesting, you know? We have so many thoughts.
If nothing else, she's thought provoking. Like, she does provoke thoughts.
Yeah. And I do find myself, like, I think the common thread here is, like, as Taylor Swift fans, we love getting more music from her.
Yes,
like, it's
yes.
an exciting thing, mm-hmm. no matter what. Mm-hmm. It feels like new. It's almost like reading a new book or watching a new TV show. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just, you know, you can continue to watch Sex and the City over and over, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever. But it is, there's something, like, refreshing about having new content. Like, I think our brains just craves that, just some variety. So,
wow. That is such a great comparison.
A great analogy.
No, because we love talking about Sex and the City on this podcast. And that really, like, unlocked something in my brain, because for me, like, Taylor Swift Reputation and before, that's like OG Sex and the City for me. Ends with, like, Petrovsky in France, you know, that's the end Reputation. Then the rest of them, like Lover, Folklore, Evermore, Midnights, these are all, like, end just like that. And they're hit or miss, truly. They're hit or miss. You know, we're redoing something. We're trying to look at it from a different angle. It's kind of, like, tuned differently to, like, the 2024 audience. And so for me, like, I'm always an OG Sex and the City fan. I'm an OG Taylor Swift fan. Like, I'm a debut, you know, Fearless, Speak Now, all of those things. And
yeah, you've been in it since the beginning.
But it's still exciting to have new content and something, like, find a new aspect of her and,
absolutely.
Like, delve into things. So that is really, like, I do think that she has had she has started a different voice since the pandemic. Like, Folklore was a start of something that she's never done before, and then Evermore, and now this. And it's like, she's getting way more into synth pop and, like, kind of ethereal singing, where it's not straight pop anymore. Like, it's not 1989, it's not Reputation, it's something completely
definitely
different
not.
So it's a new kind of era. It's not exactly for me, it's not, like, my preferred era. I'd rather go back and do some reruns of season 3 Sex and the City rather than do season 2 of And Just Like That, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
So let's get into your overall thoughts, because I think you like it, Leslie, don't you think?
I do like it. It's not my favorite. Mm. I think, did you read that long text I sent you the other day of my summary?
When did you send it? Maybe it got lost in my phone.
Maybe
situation.
It got, yeah, because I never got a reaction. And I was like, wow, maybe he really disagrees with me.
Was it on, what day was it on? Do you remember?
It was here. I think it was the day you were traveling. So you actually may not have seen it. So this is kind of my overall thought. And a lot of this, I think other people have been saying similar things.
Yeah.
But do you want me to just read it?
I would love you to. Yeah, I'm scrolling. Oh, wait, here we go. Here are my summary of my thoughts. Yeah, I did not see this. Yep, here we go.
Okay, so you can hear it live.
Yes.
So I, and a lot, like I said, a lot of people have been saying this too, but I think she wrote this album and just the fact that it has so many songs in it, but I think that's because she did it just for the sake of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone just put a package on my porch.
Whoa, delivery, special delivery. Kiki's delivery service.
Like my neighbor. But, and I said, they're all decent songs. Like, they're fine.
Yeah.
They're fine songs.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is good at what she does.
Mm-hmm.
She knows how to, like, work with, although I'm biting my tongue on this a little bit about working with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think she needs to make some moves on who she works with.
Definitely.
But she does, like, she knows the best of the best people to work with to, like, put quality music out there.
Yeah.
But I think this album has, like, no wow factor at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't think that this is an award-winning compilation.
Oh, that's so interesting, because I made that note as well. Let's get back to that in a second. Yeah.
And I think you'll agree with this too. Like, I think she was really strategic with Midnights.
Yes.
Because it's a really well-rounded album, which is what you said before. Like, it has a little something for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, people who come to her for the pop bops.
Yep.
Like, it has some more emotional, you know, slower songs, ones that are tugging at your heartstrings. But I think that's why that's an album of the year kind of album.
Yes. Yes.
I don't think the Tortured Poets Department is bad,
mm-hmm.
but it's just not like her typical award-winning album.
Right. Right.
And I really just think, like, because of who she is as a person and, like, her art form and, like, how she needs to process things and get them out, like, I think she really just needed to get all of these feelings out there because of what she went through.
Yeah.
And, like, what she does is put it to music. So that's just, like, something she was going to do regardless.
Right.
And just to give her fans more songs. Like I said before, like, nobody's going to be mad if she puts out more music.
Right.
Like, no matter what, people are going to freak out and be excited about it.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. Once we go through song by song, like, there are a few that I do really like.
Mm-hmm.
I do, and like I was alluding to before, like, I think I don't know if she has, like, contracts set up with Jack Antonoff.
Literally. She needs to get out of it.
I do think, like I said, the songs aren't bad, but it's just a lot of the same weird beats and bops in the background.
Yep.
And for the most part, I like her songs with Aaron Dessner on this album more than the Jack songs.
Okay.
With the exception of I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Love it. Love that
really
song.
Good song.
Yeah.
But I do think Aaron's song, just for, like, in the same realm of the songs that I really like on Folklore and Evermore, like, I do think there are some songs that kind of go in that kind of area for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to be honest, 31 songs is too much. I'm
2 hours. Lord have mercy.
And there are a few songs in there I'm just like,
skip.
This isn't doing anything for me.
Yes.
I just skip it.
Yes.
So
it's definitely
that's my overall summary.
It's that TikTok you sent me that Casey also sent me, that it's Taylor Swift lyrics set to music. It's not songs. They were not well thought out songs. They're lyrics set to music. It's like,
it really, like, it literally is poetry.
Yeah,
like, it makes
it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but my question is about the award-winning stuff, because Is she so high and mighty right now that she thinks that this could win awards? I mean, we've always known that Taylor Swift goes for the Grammys. That is what her whole self-worth revolves around. This is not a Grammy-worthy album. Like, there's no, it's not Song of the Year. It's not Record of the Year. It's not Pop Anything of the Year. It's nothing. And is she going to be upset next year when the Grammys come around and she's nowhere to be seen?
She's not getting
like,
it.
Is she so delusional? Is she so full of a team of yes people that she thinks this is the award-winning album? I can't even imagine that. So then does that mean that maybe she has moved on from that addiction to the awards?
Well, what I was just going to say is I think it was yesterday she posted like a few stories
in a row of
those articles.
Reviews. It's so thirsty. Yeah. It's so thirsty.
And of course it's Rolling Stone who they
eats her
typically
ass.
Always give her a really good review. Uh-huh. I forget. One of the other ones like gave her 5 stars. Now, Kev, what was that website we looked at?
Pitchfork
that rated Beyonce's album.
Yep.
What did they give it?
6.6.
Is that one of our art?
Yep. We just looked at it. Shay and I looked at it before because we were
okay. That's not bad, but I feel like that makes sense.
That's accurate. That is an accurate rating.
It's a very 6.6 album.
Yep. It's basically a B minus. Like she got a B minus for this album. Like it's not great. It's not awful, but it's not great. Yeah. It's 6.6.
Like I think this was her like processing her breakup. Like that's all it is.
But did she actually do that? Like did we actually get into the root of that issue? Like what songs were about the breakup? So Long London is about the breakup.
It seems like there were more songs about
Maddie Healy. Definitely.
Which was very like that. I don't know how long they actually dated,
but it
really fucked her up.
3 months.
It really fucked her up.
And we all were trying to forget that that ever happened, ma'am. We did not want that to happen.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
don't bring
then
it
it's
up
like
again.
The title track of the album, The Tortured Poets Department, that we all think because Joe Alwyn had that group text about tortured men or something.
Yeah.
But that song's not even about Joe.
It's about freaking Maddie Healy. Can you even believe that?
It's very, that's such a big, I mean, I guess she's trying to show that, like, I don't know, you can be just as messed up from a 3 month thing as 6 years.
It's so typical for her, right? To be in this like completely not real relationship for a couple months and then to create a whole double album about it. It's like, how did you even pull out that much information in 3 months where, again, like I saw nothing about Joe in this album. There's So Long London, which basically says we had a good time and then it ended in London. Like that was it, basically.
Yeah.
And then the rest is now I will say The Alchemy, which is clearly about Travis Kelce. I actually do like that song. And I like the way that she's personifying her thoughts and feelings towards him. Like there's no reason to fight the alchemy. Like he likes her, she likes him. Like I thought that that was a very well thought out song. But in terms of the breakup, I'm not seeing the thoughts and feelings of the break. It's just like Ariana
Maybe
Grande.
I just don't understand what she's saying.
I probably understand about 10% of what's going on. I need to literally like print out all the lyrics, get out your highlighters. Like it's so dense. That's why it's just not going to win any awards. It's way too dense and like much to comb through.
It's all just for the sake of like spouting out words.
Well, and I kind of, when she said Tortured Poets Department, I was like, oh God, we're getting into bad territory here. But it really is just poetry set to some kind of sad music. The whole album is Say You'll Remember Me. Not that one. What am I trying to see? That Lana Del Rey song from Great Gatsby. Will you still love me when I'm no longer? That's the vibe of the entire double album is Will You Still Love Me When I'm No Longer Young and Beautiful? Like it's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Jack Antonoff, you will answer for your crimes is all I have to say. I don't know what you have over her, but she needs to work with different people. I'm begging at this point to work with different people.
Imagine if she went back with
Max Martin. Like, go with Max Martin or Calvin Harris or somebody, David Guetta. I don't care who it is. Yeah. Somebody. And you know, we hate to do these comparisons, but Beyonce works with a whole page of people on one song. And Taylor Swift works with one person on an album that's 2 hours long. You need to expand the circle a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way you're really going to develop
a different sound. Well, like, that's why the whole album sounds the exact same, because it's just the two of them sitting there making songs day after day.
Yep. Yep. It's like they're their own little band.
Exactly. They should start a fucking band, the two of them.
They're just like their own band.
And you know who? Yeah. I always think about, I bet Jack Antonoff's wife freaking hates Taylor Swift. I bet she loathes her.
It's like your husband goes to the, like, has this side bitch at the office. Like,
literally.
That's probably their whole,
she's the office hoe. Yeah, exactly.
Fight about it all the time.
So I had a little, my thoughts overall as well. I would say overall, the album makes me feel sad. That's like how that's how the songs make me feel, is just sad. Mm-hmm. Maybe she should start writing songs for other people. Like, maybe she could just become a songwriter. Like, she loves the lyrics, she loves it. Maybe give these songs to somebody else to then produce.
Who have like a different sound.
Different sound, yeah.
With other people, yeah.
It's all just too much. The second album was not necessary at all, in my opinion. And I'm confused, because this is clearly not going to win any awards. Like, who is this album for? Like, who is she making this for? And like, it's not necessarily a love letter to Travis. Like, he's mentioned, but not really. It's not really a breakup album for Joe. It really is like about Maddie Healy. And it's like, why? That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
And then we have to get into the Kim K of it all. What do you think about that?
It just wasn't. I mean, we've said this time and time again. She's beaten a dead horse.
Oh, that horse died. Came back to life and then died fucking again listening to
And now she's songs. Finally saying thank you. Like, this is her. if this isn't her final, like, I'm letting it go, I might be done with her.
I was really thinking about that song and just how much it pisses me off. But then when you saw the theories that maybe it's about Carly Kloss, like, these Gaylor folks, they can do anything. They could spin anything to be about Carly Kloss.
I mean, come on, she literally capitalized K-I-M in the like, it's pretty obvious who it's about.
If she had just named the song Thank You Amy without that fucking capitalization, that would be one thing. But capitalizing the name, seriously? You're 35 years old. Go to therapy.
I'm not even going to give her the satisfaction of being in high school. Like, she's straight up middle school.
Oh, it's trailer trash at this point. It's white trash.
Petty as fuck.
Petty, like, gross. Like, it's just, like, so, so immature. I mean,
so immature.
I would like to be a fly on the wall in Kim's house. Like, oh, my God, here she goes again. Like, why don't you just call Taylor up, literally?
What was the other
quick
thing
little yawn break?
Sorry. I've been seeing TikToks of people that are like Christians.
Oh God.
And they're like, this album is my final straw with Taylor.
Good.
Like,
perfect. Because it's so like witchy.
Throwing away. Well, and I guess I think it's in Guilty as Sin. There's a line about like rolling away the stone.
Yeah, she says something about Jesus. Yeah,
and like something about being crucified. So, I saw a TikTok of this girl like throwing away her like Eras Tour poster, and then people commented like, "Hey, can I have that? Like I'll buy it from you if you want."
That's
like,
so funny. Oh my God, people are so
just
funny.
The things that people like just take too seriously, you know.
Right.
I love that people think, you know, Taylor's some devil worshipping witch or something.
She is. I did love that thread throughout the album. It is very magical and witchy and stuff. And after just finishing ACOTAR, like, this could be like the theme song to that. Like,
there was a lot of, it could be set to like a fantasy novel.
Yes,
for sure.
It's like, did she start reading like a bunch of fantasy and then like make theme songs for it?
She, like, for as much as we don't see her, like, she might be sitting there reading ACOTAR. Who knows?
I bet she does. Who knows?
Like, during COVID, like, she's definitely somebody who reads, I feel like.
Yeah, she's on BookTok for sure.
Just
she's on Goodreads.
Like, Can she get on Goodreads? I would love to know what she reads. She would probably like that book that I tried to start last week that was so dense.
Marriage
and
Story.
About relationships, yeah.
You know what she probably loves is the Pretty Little Liar series. I bet she eats those up and rereads them.
As
and
just, she should, because it's an excellent series. Literary goals.
Complete petty, like, high school drama between these girls that's from, like, middle school.
Good. Yep.
All right, let's go through song by song. Unless song do you think song. There's maybe we do one of the articles first, just and then I know Dr. Bean will not want to sit around for the rest of this podcast, like listening to us go through song by song. So
song by song would be,
you can do.
I'm going through these.
Maybe the CNN one, because that's just kind of a little overview, or some of the other ones are a little bit more dense.
Of course, oh here, I think that's one that I didn't open. Sorry. Okay. So yeah, this will just tell us a little bit in general, some of the numbers. So the tortured tortured.
It's so hard to say. And I hate the acronym TTPD. It's like, what is that?
And I also don't want to type out the whole thing. So I'll use it. So it dropped on Friday. It became the most streamed album on its first day across Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Music. Oh, also, Kush and I were texting about it, and he was saying, like, how much more this was streamed versus Beyoncé's was insane.
Well, that is crazy, but here's my rationale, I think. Like, numbers-wise, like, we are a finance podcast. Since this is 2 hours long, isn't it just more people going through each of the songs? Like, isn't it minutes streamed or something? Like, hers is double just Beyonce's album. Length. So it's like, it's length of people, like, listening to it, right? I guess she's kept their attention long enough that they're still listening through the end. But, like, I don't think it means it's, like, so many more people actually listen to one song. It's like more people are listening to the whole album, I think. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Does that make any sense?
Think about it like that. Yeah, but which kind of makes it unfair.
Definitely. Well, like, again, her little games.
Well, then those
metrics
barely mean anything. Yeah.
Right. It's like minutes streamed. Of course, people are streaming this longer because it's 2 hours long, like the whole thing.
Right. So, the pop star's 11th studio album raked in a stunning 300 million streams in a single day on Friday on Spotify alone, becoming the most streamed album in a single day in just 12 hours.
Wow.
Amazon and Apple also, she also broke records there. So the album's opening track, Fortnite, also received laurels. I don't know what that means.
Like accolade.
Becoming the most streamed song. Taylor probably put that song or that word in there. Becoming the most streamed song in a single day on Spotify. And then Swift surprised fans with the album in February. I thought I was going to say surprise them with the double album news. Let's see. I think that was really all. Those were the main metrics.
Well, what do you think about the 2 a.m. drop, speaking of?
I knew, like, all of her stupid two clues.
I can't believe
I figured there was
gonna
be something.
Yeah.
I figured there was gonna be something at 2 a.m. I don't really know what I expected. I feel like now she always has, because she's so quiet about what's happening with the album up until it's released. Like, I feel like she always is gonna come up with some crazy wow factor thing. I don't really like see it as a double album.
I don't
just,
either
like, see it as
it's just a
one
long
thing.
Album. Yeah,
it's not like, oh, this is this other side of the album is
completely
this,
different
it has all featured artists or it's
right.
I don't know. I think she could do a little bit. I think it was just like she just happened to be in the studio, recorded all these songs, and it was too much to put on one album. And then she was like, oh, we're going to double it. I don't know.
That again. So when she did Midnight, she released the first 13 songs, but then there was the Till Dawn edition, which is like another 7 or 8 songs. So then it's like 21 songs total. So that was definitely for for me, it was for the awards. Like she, so then the 13 songs go into consideration for the awards. So that's what I thought that she was kind of doing here, was like the first 16 songs go in for the consideration for the awards. And then she has basically right. vault songs that go on top of that. But again, it's like, is that just ingrained in her to do it? Or does she really think that this is going to be like album of the year next year? Like there's no reason to separate them like that unless you want to put them into like different award categories or something. Like just release all of it.
I think she just, well, I don't think she would release all of it because a 31 song album wouldn't qualify
is ridiculous.
For anything.
Exactly.
Like she
exactly.
has to have her initial like record and then
exactly. All the it's all so. About the awards. Yeah. She must
I be... will say I was go ahead.
I was just gonna say she must be so delusional about it then that she thinks this is like award winning.
I was just gonna say I am glad like not that the four songs that were on those like four different mm-hmm. versions were like so amazing, but at least it's not like we're having to wait for those. Like those were all included in those extra tracks
or you're like looking up little TikTok sounds of it, like that's what I was doing
like
for
trying
hits
to
different and stuff
hits
yeah
different. I know
yeah
that
hits really, different hits is 100 times better than anything on this album
yeah and hits different is an Aaron Dessner song which
oh interesting
because I do like his a lot
so do you like his band the National or whatever it's called Aaron Dessner's
band? I haven't really listened to them.
Oh, maybe you should give him a try. Give him a listen.
Should.
Throw a stream there.
Yeah. Way. I just really like his, like, I don't know if it's just like how he plays the guitar or something. Like, I just, it's interesting, like interesting sounds or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, that's why you were saying, or you were like, I like to connect to an album.
Yeah.
And the, which I get. And like, yeah, I feel like there are very few songs on this album that I can really connect to.
Right.
But I do like, I do sometimes listen to music too, just for like, because I like
the
how
sounds.
It sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
See, okay, that, are we
that's
ready?
That's like
to
for
go
me
through?
For, with other artists, but specifically with Taylor Swift, like I enjoy kind of using her experiences and using them kind of introspectively. Like she validates some feelings, like you feel so crazy sometimes and she validates that in some of these songs, but in
right.
these ones there's little of that like connection I feel like with listeners. Like I don't like I'm not so depressed that I act like it's my birthday. Like I don't get that line very much. Like some of these just don't resonate with me very much. Like and other ones are like I've wrote several times that these are like infantilizing lyrics, like daddy I love him and my boy plays with his favorite toys. Like it just seems weird to like connect with those type of songs in this album.
Right.
Speaking
yeah,
of
yeah they're
let's
just
get through
they're
the song.
So specific yeah they're very specific to like her situation I
right
guess.
Right
okay so we have a lot to get through so
yep.
let's keep you know one
keep the train
about
going
10 minutes per song maybe.
Well by the end I kept saying don't remember so it
yeah
won't
a lot honestly a
end,
lot
yeah.
of these I'm gonna have to like sing out loud to myself. Okay so number one
Fortnite
featuring Post Malone, we have a video. What are your thoughts?
Hate it. I liked the AI version better. What is everybody's obsession with Post Malone? And this music video is literally just poor things. I'm surprised she didn't have Emma Stone in it.
I kind of like the music video. I don't know why. Probably
it's like
just
Frankenstein.
Because I like weird, creepy stuff.
Yeah.
I did think it was cool that she had those two actors from the Dead Poets Society in it.
Oh, is that why they're in it? From Dead Poets Society?
Yeah, I guess. Which I've never seen.
Me neither.
But I was like, who are these people?
That's funny at least that she can make that connection. Yeah.
Yeah, like I thought that was pretty and that like actors like that would want to be in her music video.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fine song. Like I don't this is not one that I skip, I guess, but I agree, especially because this always happens to me with her albums, especially when they're this long.
You start at the beginning.
So you hear those first few songs more than any of the other songs. So.
Definitely. And then you like, kind of taper off towards the end.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's fine. Definitely not a favorite of her.
I think she chose incorrectly again as a single, but whatever. I think that every time.
Yeah. Okay. Number two, the title track.
Love it. I think it's good. Probably number five overall for me. Like overall, it's upbeat. She tells a little story. But then my issue is like, now I'm going to think about Maddie Healy the whole time, which I don't want to. But it is a pretty good song.
Mm-hmm. The whole line. That's the one that has the line about the tattooed golden retriever.
Oh, what does that mean?
I just assumed that was about him.
Oh, like he is a tattooed golden retriever?
There's like a line about her like playing with his hair while he falls asleep, like a tattooed golden retriever or something.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, see, I can't do AP literature.
Which
here.
Is funny because I would have also thought of Joao and as being like a golden
right,
retriever.
A golden retriever because he has blonde hair. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was a weird line. Hmm. But and then any other thoughts about that one?
No, it's not bad.
I feel like all these, I don't really have like deep thoughts.
I have a few about this next one.
My boy only breaks his favorite toys.
I like this, but I feel weird like singing to it and stuff. And like she infantilizes herself throughout this album. Like you are a woman.
What does infantilizes mean?
It means like she makes herself like a baby. She like makes herself like this little child, and like she has toys and like her daddy and like all these little things that like make her like a baby. Like weird. Sexy baby. Like all of that stuff that she
she loves the sexy baby.
Like my boy only breaks his favorite toys. Like let's think about an adult way to say that. Like, you know, like there's a way to frame things that you are a 35-year-old woman, not like a child, in my opinion.
Right. She did make a Ken reference.
Yeah, she did that. What did she do that in another one, Cruel Summer or something? Like
hits
that's
different.
In another. Yeah, is it Hits Different? Yeah, like that is interesting too. Ken references.
These Kens, yeah. That's when I was convinced that Hit Different was going to be in the Barbie movie.
I know. Like, I get the point of this song. Like, your guy is mean to you because you're his favorite. But, like, there's just a better way to say it, I think. It's just so, I don't want to sing along to it.
Then she also says, once I fix me, he's going to miss me. So she makes it, like, she's just criticizing herself. She's just so self-deprecating.
Right. It's all her fault. Yeah. Even though she has a song in here that says, I can fix him and those kinds of things. Yeah.
And then number four, Down Bad, the song you had stuck in your head today.
That's what I said. I hate it, but it gets stuck in my head.
Stuck in my head too.
This was the first song that I'm like, why is this so depressing? Like, what about her? My overall issue is that this is the peak of her life. She's the richest she's ever been, the happiest she's ever been, the most popular she's ever been. And then she writes a 2-hour-long depression album. Like, what do you want then? Like, you don't want any of these things?
Right. I don't think she knows what the hell she wants.
She'll never be happy. I think that's what it is. Like, even at the height of your life, you are still depressed, which is sad.
And then I thought that one was weird. Like, she kept saying, like, I lost my twin.
Oh. What
does that mean? Did you notice that lyric?
No.
Like,
she ate her twin in the womb.
She's like, I lost my twin. What if I can't have him?
Oh.
Like, she says it kind of toward the end. Like, I don't know.
What do you think that means, lyric analysis?
Well, I'm like, who was the song about, do you think?
I have no idea. I thought this was a breakup album, like the next one, So Long London. So I thought that this was all like when she broke up with Joe. But
right.
Well,
that was like, we saw that title of that song and we're like, clearly this whole album's about Joe because she's saying So Long to London and that's track 5. Like,
right. And which is really important to her. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, you want to be dating your twin? That's kind of weird. Like your soul twin. I don't know.
Like, is that about Carly Kloss? Like them, they're both models.
Are Oh, I don't know. Our like deep analysis of these compared to some other podcasts, probably.
Well, I'm sorry. We're huge fans and I still don't get these. Like, that's saying something. Yeah. You know, like, I still can't. That's why, like, when we get to Florida, I'm like, this is fun, but like, what even is this about? Like, what are we talking about right now?
She did. Well, we can talk about that when I get to Florida, but I heard a clip of her explaining Florida.
Yeah. One of the articles I sent you, she did something on Amazon where she like did an audio thing about it or something. Let's get to it when we get to it.
Okay. So track five, So Long London. What did you think?
I said, so basically Joe didn't do anything to you and it just fizzled out and you had a nice time while it lasted.
That's exactly it. It's like, oh, he was just like fading away from you.
Yeah. It was nice while it lasted. Now it's over. Like, great. Yeah. Thanks so much. 6 years of your life.
Yep. It just seemed like a really unhappy relationship. I do really like this song. Like,
So Long London? Really?
It's actually one of my favorite songs on the album.
Okay, I need a pulse check on you. What's going on?
I think it's just the Aaron Dessner, and I like how it sounds. That's honest. Like, I don't think it's not really the lyrics. It's just the vibe. I think it sounds cool. And I like how the bridge sounds, too.
Oh, okay,
good. It's very, like, scream.
Do you like the track five?
You swore that you love me. Where were the clues? She's like, I don't know. That's probably a song Kush likes too. Like, he likes really
sad,
scary, depressing songs.
Do you usually like the track fives?
I like a lot of them, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Okay, that's So Long London. I love him.
Yep, I bet you know what I'm going to say about this one. Again, it's a great song. But I'm not singing Daddy, I love him. Like, it's so, again, infantilizing.
Yeah, you're not going to do that dad for karaoke.
Yeah, it's a great song. It really has has some imagery. You can see her, like, unbuttoned her dress and running and all these things. And, like, she takes you through the whole thing. And I think this is the fun one where she says, I'm pregnant, but I'm not
having his baby. Yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. But, again, the daddy part is just weird to me. It's so weird.
I was looking at, I like went on Taylor's TikTok to see if she's liked anybody's posts.
Wow, that's super sleuth.
Super sleuth. But people made TikToks reacting to that song and like everybody's jaw drops when she says, right. I'm having his baby. And then no, I'm not, but you should see your face. And then they like everybody laughs, of course.
Oh, she liked those ones.
Yeah, like prank.
Wow. April Fools, you got us.
Yeah, I do like that song. It's like a fun song to scream or something. Fresh Out of the Slammer, to be honest, I can't even like think right now what that one sounds like.
Okay, I love this one actually. It's very like it says dunna 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 ashes. Like she keeps rhyming things with ashes and stuff, and like it's kind of lyrically interesting to me, and I like it. But I agree with you that every time I've listened, I've had to be like, wait, what song is this again? Like it's so hard to tell the difference between the songs that it's like I had to be like, oh, I kind of like this one. What is it? I said it's probably number four on my list.
Okay. I'm like not even ready for a ranking yet. Maybe next episode.
Yeah, that's going to be a couple listens away. Yeah.
Track eight, Florida.
Florence.
I do really like it. I'm glad that she actually gave Florence a verse.
Yes, she definitely let her sing, but I would say that her vocals are still turned down a little bit. Like hearing a Florence and the Machine song versus this, like she could definitely belt a little bit louder and she was definitely turned down to be in line with Taylor.
Well, in that case, like, I don't know, then it would have sounded weird with Taylor because Taylor has a much more low voice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Again, what did she say in that thing about this song? What is it about?
I guess it's just, I think she was saying like at the end of a relationship or something and you just like don't know what to do with yourself. So you're like, maybe escaping. I'll just go to Florida.
Yeah. Hmm.
it was kind of stupid.
Down in Destin. All right.
And then Guilty as Sin, that's the one I was talking about with the religious undertones.
I kind of like this one. It's pretty good.
Okay song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't really have any. Some of these I'm just like, it's good.
It's good.
I don't really have any major notes.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Next is Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. I do really like this one.
I love it.
Her screaming in it.
It just takes so long to get going. It's like you have to wait for like a minute in for it to like actually gain some traction.
Yeah, it is. Is this one the longest song? 5:34.
Oh, really? Is it? That's why it takes so long. Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's the But Daddy, I Love Him is the longest, but close.
3 minutes is good for a song, folks. We don't need 5.5 minutes. This is an All Too Well 10-minute version. Thanks.
Yep. Because Kush always has like a random song lyric in his Instagram profile. So his is now Who's Afraid of Little Old Me.
Oh, and I think that's a good one. Kush. Yeah, that's a good one.
Track 11, I Can Fix Him. No, Really, I Can.
No. Delete. Yeah, that's one that I posted right now.
That's one right now. I can't even think of what it sounds like. Same with the next track, nope. LOML.
I don't have any notes there. I had no idea what that even
sounded. It's funny because
like.
Those rankings that people do on Instagram or on TikTok or whatever, and people kept putting Loss of My Life. I'm like, what song is that? Like, did I not have that on mine? And
wait,
I forgot.
Does it actually stand for Loss of My Life?
Some people say Love of My Life. Some people say Loss of My Life. I don't really
know. Oh, so we don't even know. Okay, sweet.
No. Lommel. I call it Lommel.
Llamas.
Llamas.
Talking llama.
Track 13, I Can Do With a Broken Heart.
The best. Number one. Yep.
Yeah, it's very good.
I just don't get that birthday line. I'm sorry. I don't. Are birthdays depressing to people? Like, is that what it is? Is that what she's saying? Like, I'm so depressed. I act like it's my birthday every day.
Or is it like, I'm so depressed, but I, on the outside, try to show like it's my birthday.
Maybe like, and that is part of it. It's like, I'm miserable and nobody knows. But then when I dive too deep into this song, it pisses me off too. Cause it's like, she's basically saying she's up at the Eras tour and she's like, has a broken heart and she's miserable. And so then it's like, I feel bad that we're like screaming along with her and she's actually miserable. Like,
well, that's her job. And I'm not happy every day when I'm making a InDesign presentation. But I act like it's my birthday. No. But she's getting millions of dollars. She's fine.
I know.
She can do it with a broken heart. She's fine.
And it's like, who broke her heart? Was it Maddie who she's so broken up about? Or was this Joe? Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, it's a great song.
It's a nicely produced song. Good job, Jack. You did one right out of fucking 30.
We did one right. And then The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. Very much a Maddie song.
Oh, okay, very good. I was like, who is this about?
I think that one's definitely a Maddie song.
Oh, good. I actually like that one. Yeah, it's an interesting song. Again, just takes too long to get going.
Yeah, it's very, like, dark, deep.
Mm-hmm.
And then track 15, The Alchemy.
I like it. I think it was definitely about Travis. We've got a lot of like football references in there. I do,
but
like
not too like in your face, but obvious enough that we know it's about him.
I like the magical aspect that's like kind of woven throughout, right? Like alchemy and stuff like that. And like it's a good song. It's not like amazing, but it's good for this album.
Yeah. Okay, track 16. So track 16 is the last on the regular album. So that one is Clara Bow.
That's the one where she loses me. Yeah.
She says her own name in it. I think it's a fine. It's a very like folklore. It would be on Folklore Evermore.
Yes.
I think it's
Woodvale.
Fine.
It's from Woodvale.
Mm-hmm. I like it better than some of those earlier ones that I don't remember.
Like, does she just look up like the most obscure people and things and then just like make a whole, like, it's just like, where is that coming from?
That's like who she made herself look like in that music video with Clara those thin Bow. Eyebrows. Yeah.
Did you see some people thought she was talking about the cow from Mickey and Minnie, like Clarabelle.
Clarabelle. Yeah. Okay, so that concludes. So now we're getting into the double album, which has more songs than the first. So first one is The Black Dog.
I don't remember.
I have not listened to that one. I don't remember either.
Sirius Black, sure.
And then I'm Gonna Get You Back.
Pretty good. But I'm Gonna Get You Back.
I just wanted to look at the lyrics.
I might break your bike or marry you, make you make you a wife.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I don't know. Yeah. Again, I don't really know.
No idea. Yep.
Okay. The Albatross. I actually really like The Albatross. That's just another weird, like, random song that I end up liking and how it sounds, but I do really like that one.
Wow, that's so interesting. Yeah, nothing, it's not for me.
Nothing I can articulate right now, but
that's good that you just like the sounds of it.
I like it.
That's
I just
music.
Like the, I just sometimes the sounds.
It you can't even explain it with words. It's beyond words.
I can't. Yeah. Track 20. Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus?
No, I'm sorry. Just no to everything.
Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus? Yeah, I don't know what the fuck.
Just delete that song.
Track 21, How Did It End?
Don't
How
remember.
Did It Start? Because I don't remember.
What did it go like?
What did it go like? Okay, track 22, So High School. I actually think this song's cute.
It's
I really
good.
Like it.
And it's just like accurate of an introspection for her because she her whole life is so high school. Like, good job. You hit this one.
And people were saying that it reminds them. Hold on 1 second. Sorry. I have to open the door.
I'm gonna get you back. So High School, Taylor Swift, Fearless, Speak Now. I'm gonna get you back. All right, everybody, we have about 10 songs left. We can do this.
Sorry, I had to assist a delivery.
Delivery man, pizza.
Yeah, I'm on the pot right now, so.
Sounded like you said, I'm on the pot.
I'm on the pot. Okay, so
we're on So High School. If you have anything
so high
to
school.
Say about that,
people were comparing like it sort of sounds like a 2000s like drama TV show.
Yes, exactly, Degrassi.
Sort of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So yeah, I do like that one. I Hate It Here.
Don't remember.
I sort of remember that one a little bit, but not that notably.
Now here we come, Kim K.
Thank You, Amy. It sounds fine. I don't know.
I just can't believe that she sat down and wrote this and then thought it was good to put it out. That's my only issue.
Right.
Like, have a little bit of self-worth here. And also,
yeah, she's not having much of that.
Since when? I thought she was mad at Kanye this whole time. Now you're really mad at Kim? Like, she's the one.
Well,
that
I think she's mad at Kim for like putting the whole phone call on her Snapchat.
Oh my God.
All that
for the love
bullshit.
Of Christ in heaven almighty.
Yeah. And then track 25, I Look in People's Windows.
Not very memorable to me.
I do. People are like showing a little bit of parallel between that and the line from Death by a Thousand Cuts where she says like I look through the windows.
It's almost like she's watching life happen from the outside or something.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't have
I don't
any
really
comments on this one or the rest of the album because I the Bolter's fine, but like I don't really care about the rest of them. So if you have any comments on any of them, feel free to share your commentary.
Honestly, not really. I barely get to the end. So.
Well, why do they think, what's Cassandra? Because they think that one's about Kim K as well, don't they?
I don't know. I feel like I need to sit through and like read these as like a poetry anthology. Well, like literally saying. The you anthology.
To, you literally yeah. have to print it out and then like highlight it like you're in AP literature. Like right. this is supposed to be a work of art where it's like easy to understand and kind of vibe with. And it's just not that. It's for like manuscript writers.
Yeah. It's a little ridiculous. So if I find the time to do that, maybe I will, but right yeah. now it's not a big priority of mine.
I tried, but I keep falling asleep towards the end, or I keep like if I'm on a walk and the songs change, I can't tell the difference between the songs. Like yeah. I just
need to listen to it on shuffle.
Oh, interesting. Or something. Wow. Well, you're right, because there's really no rhyme or reason to, like they don't flow into each other. Like it's really
no.
There's no like actual cohesiveness to the album.
Mm-mm, there really isn't.
I think 6.6 is a great rating for this album. B minus.
To be honest, I'm like, I thought it was going to be lower than that.
Like 5.
Yeah, like a 5.4 or something. I don't know if that's what I would personally give it, but yeah. like I thought
critically,
this site that's typically pretty critical would have maybe gone a little bit lower, but.
You know what they actually gave, because we were going through all of the other Taylor Swift albums too. They gave Red like a 9. Red Taylor.
Oh, wow.
So I think.
Was that the highest?
I think her highest was one of her originals. Like maybe it was actually Red the original or something. But
okay.
It is interesting like to see those ratings.
Right.
Let's see here.
Yeah.
So that's it. New Taylor Swift 11. You know, isn't that crazy? 11 fucking albums.
I did not, looking back, like I did not think we would have TS 11 right
already.
Now.
Already. Right.
Already.
I think not maybe she would do well with a little bit of a break from albums, to be honest.
But I bet she's going to do 2 more re-recordings before Eras Tour is over.
Well, that's fine. The re-recordings in my mind don't really count.
Yeah.
But,
I will maybe be very curious to see songs. What she does, like, after this huge, huge world tour ends, and sort of that era of things is
yeah.
over with the, you know, the re-recordings and the tour and everything, like, what she's gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've seen TikToks that are like, Taylor slated to perform in Istanbul in 2025. I'm like, I don't think that's accurate.
No, I feel like some of this is going to be over after this year for sure.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm trying to read, I'm like reading some of this Pitchfork like review, and it's their review is even like very long-winded, of course. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's basically what we know, a born storyteller. She gathered up emotional ephemera of her life and molded it into indelible songs about herself. She's been pumped up to mythical proportions by the discourse, and it's bigger than her body of work. She's her own pantheon, a tragic hero and a vindictive villain, an inadvertent antitrust crusader, a one-woman stimulus package, an alleged climate criminal and fixer, and the person of the year. Over the past 13 months, she's strapped on her spangled bodysuit and performed a Herculean feat 3 nights a week on her highest grossing tour of all time, earning her vaunted $1 billion valuation. Her musical achievements are remarkable, but nobody makes $1 billion from music alone. So it's basically just like she is all of these things, and her first body of work since the end of her years-long relationship and a pair of high-profile whirlwind romances bring us the Torture Poets Department. 6.6.
I still think it's appropriate.
Yeah.
So do you think you'll continue to, like, now that you've gotten through your first few listens, like, is this something you're going to continue to pick up over the coming weeks, or do you already find yourself listening to other stuff?
Here's what I'm definitely going to go back to Cowboy Carter. It's just more fun to listen to. But I think I will, like, if anything, I'll make a little playlist of, like, 5 or 6 of the songs and listen to
the ones that you really like.
I can't do the whole thing again. I can't, unless I'm trying to fall asleep on a plane. That's the only way I'm going to listen to it all the way through.
I think I might listen to it all the way through again, just to see if there's any like outliers that I didn't realize I liked before. But yeah, I think maybe a little playlist would be better.
If you want to go on a 2-hour walk, you could do that and just listen to them all. But yeah, that's a long time.
I don't think
time.
I want to go on a 2-hour walk.
See, I can't, I could not just might. Sit and listen to it. Like I would not have the attention span for that. So I would need to be doing something
else. I would just
else.
Like, I mean, maybe just put it on in the background if I'm like doing stuff around the house or something. I don't know. Or I put it on in the car.
Oh yeah. Like a long car ride might be nice.
Yeah, maybe I'll just go for a drive 1 hour Whoa, out, what 1 hour the heck? Back.
Well, when you go up to reunion weekend, 2 hours, there you go.
Oh, there you go, 79.
exit 147A, folks.
Oh, God. Nervous.
All right, so that was our tortured podcasters department. It is time to log us out, ma'am.
All right. I have no words left. I can't even think of our outro. Thank you all so much for tuning in. At least this podcast is shorter than Taylor's album.
It
so
definitely
we have
is.
That going for
yep.
Us. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media at That's the Worst Pod on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. And make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right.
And we are Kevin IE. And that was literally the worst.
That was 6. Literally 6. 6.
That was literally 6. A 6.6.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.